this is also a negotiation, and I'm not going to sit here and say exactly what we're going to do, and you know, we got to work on it, so we'll see what happens. But we're prepared. The new owners are very supportive of the efforts that we're going to put forth, and I think we're going to be well equipped to go in and look. But the market just hasn't revealed itself yet, and the distraction of the draft is still here, and you know, maybe things will pick up right after the All-Star break.
That was Mike Elias on Saturday. It is now Thursday. The All-Star game is behind us. The draft is behind us. We are 12 days away from the trade deadline. A lot of rumors, innuendo, etc. going on the Twitter as we speak about what the Orioles could or could not do. So, Jason, and I'll give you my thoughts after. Do you think that Mike Elias will make that big swing at the deadline?
I think it's more probable than not that this year's haul more closely resembles last year's haul than it does the kind of things we've been hoping for. And at least me personally, I've been trying to temper my expectations, because while I have very strong feelings about what they should do, I also have become increasingly convinced over the last 3, 4, 5 months, the more I've thought about it, that these guys have a certain way of operating, and I just don't think much is going to shake them or change them. They're playing the long game. They will always play the long game. Some years the baseball gods will shine on them, and some years they'll frown on them. But I think we've heard Mike Elias talk about the need not to be emotional, whereas I do think there should be an emotional quotient to his job. We've seen Mike Elias be very reticent to make significant in-season changes. And we can talk about them being at a different point than they've ever been before because of the expectations, because of what they did last year, because of the first half, and because of their obvious deficiencies right now. But Gigi, I hope I am very pleasantly surprised. I want nothing more than that, but I don't believe that he and his inner circle, Sigma Dell and those guys, I just don't see them being truly all in to try to win a World Series this October.
We've seen them at one trade deadline as buyers, and they failed. That said, and maybe I'm naive, I think they learned from what happened a year ago. And I think that they will make multiple moves. I don't know if they're
Are you sure that they think they failed last year? Because let's start with that premise. Are you sure that
they
think they failed, or do they think they're in better shape now? This is what I keep going back to.
Yeah.
But they've got all these cards they could play this year. Yeah. Doesn't mean they're going to play them. But, oh, okay, they didn't work out. But all we gave up was Cesar Prieto, who has yet to play a game for the Cardinals this year, as bad as they've been, even though he's been great at AAA.
Would you like me to answer the question?
And Drew Rahm, who's not, I'm just reminding people, Rahm. And Zach Showalter, a single-A pitcher.
Frankly, I don't care what they think, because objectively, at the trade deadline, if you're a buyer, you're trying to make moves that improve your team heading into the postseason, and they made two moves that didn't move the needle at all, so they failed. Like, there's no opinion there. They failed.
But they could say, what's Drew Rahm? Nothing. What's Cesar Prieto?
I don't
Nothing.
Care.
What's Zach Showalter?
Jack Flaherty did nothing. Fuji did nothing.
But they didn't give up any. They held all their top guys.
But still a failure.
But I'm just telling you how they think. I think they think.
Yeah.
They would say, well, wait a minute.
But you don't know they all think these that teams, way. You think they think that
you
way.
You don't know either. But
I'm trying to think like a normal person here.
But I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
They might be saying, all these teams wanted Joey Ortiz, and we didn't trade him there, and we waited to trade him till the offseason, and we got the American League All-Star Game starting pitcher for him. I think they're more inclined to view it that way than to just say, well, Flaherty stunk, and Fuji was a project we couldn't fix, so therefore we got it wrong. I'm not sure. I think they are prudent to a fault. And I think they would rather miss on the margins than swing really big, give away as close to you can get as sure things, and then still have sleepless nights about whether we've given up too much, whether we've compromised our future, whether we've lost our depth.
I can't tell you that's not what they're thinking, but I know they were in St. Louis and I know they were in Houston, where eventually both those franchises made moves to take the next step. And I know they were a part of those organizations and knew that they, at some point, if they wanted to take that next step, you got to do something more than Fuji and the General. I will be frankly, I will be surprised. I will be disappointed. I will be sad. What's it? The levels of grief.
Yeah.
I will be going through all of that if we go Fuji and the General 2.0. I think, I can't guarantee you that they're going to get Tarek Skubal because I don't know if the Tigers at the end of the day are going to trade him. But I do think they're going to make multiple moves to try to make to improve this team, and it's not going to be a project and a rental. I don't think.
Yeah, I think they've told us who they are.
But we've only seen one deadline.
They've been here 6 years.
They've had one buyer's deadline.
But I'm not even talking about deadline. I'm talking about the what they believe in.
Mm-hmm. But
they
again,
just did it again. What's the biggest deficiency in this organization?
Pitching?
Did they go draft any pitchers?
No, they like getting bats.
I'm just telling you, I think they are who they are, and they think they're eventually going to win their way, and doing it their way will give them the most big bites at the apple. Every trade deadline, every hot stove league, every postseason, and I just don't think any data that you throw out there makes them waver.
But
all these pitchers getting hurt, pitchers get hurt. They know pitchers get hurt. What did they do? What did they do when all these pitchers got hurt?
They did nothing. Because and we don't know what their doctors told them, but we had Mark Feinstein on the offseason. They think that Kyle Bradish can get through the year. They were wrong.
I don't care what their doctors told them. Bradish, Wells, Means, all major, major red flags.
Means and Wells are every year.
And outside of Burns, they did Suarez.
No, they did nothing else.
So, I don't know, man.
All I know is we've had, and it's an interesting conversation, obviously, but we've had one trade deadline as buyers. And it was an utter and colossal failure from everybody's perspective.
I think it. You think it. I'm not convinced they think it.
Well, if they don't, then they need to rethink the way they think. At the bare minimum for a buyer, the trade deadline is to improve your roster heading into the postseason. Did either of those trades improve their roster heading into the postseason?
Well, here's what they would say. Were they able to go to a 6-man rotation and bring Means along slowly because they added another starter? Could they say that?
But it doesn't answer my question.
Did Fuji pitch a crazy lights out 10th inning in Anaheim at 2:00 in the morning that let them win a game?
And Seattle. But again, answer my question.
For what they gave up for him?
Answering my question, did it improve their team heading into the postseason? It did not.
They could say it did.
How? One guy didn't make the postseason
innings
roster.
Innings.
One guy didn't make the postseason roster. The other guy only made the postseason roster to justify the fact they traded for him.
Innings are innings. They gave him innings. Those are innings that they didn't have to force any youngster before they were ready to push. Look, I'm not defending them. I'm just telling
it's
you.
It's a fascinating semantics argument. But they
could make it.
Yeah.
What did John Mioli say when we had him on?
I know. He's with you.
And I don't think he agrees that this is what they should do.
No. But nobody does.
This is, I believe, who they are at their core.
Because here's the reality. And I'm not wishing for any of this to happen. And I'm not putting bad juju on anybody. But you know what happens? Injuries happen to everyday players, too. And maybe next year. Hey, Buster Posey got slid into 1 year in San Francisco. Missed the whole season. You can't guarantee. The Atlanta Braves went to the playoffs every year in the 90s. They won one championship. Nothing is guaranteed. So you have to maximize your opportunities. Because you don't know what the hell's coming next year. And I'm willing, and you know how passionate I am about this whole thing, if I'm wrong.
And I don't want to be right. I want to be wrong. I want my read on them to be wrong. But here's the other problem, and I know we got to move on.
Yeah.
There are some GMs who we know how they think.
Mm-hmm.
Their jobs are on their line. Yes. Their balls are on the line. They're willing to sell the future to win now. I don't believe Mike Elias is going to get to a point mentally where And Alex Anthopoulos, whatever,
Anthropowski
in Atlanta, where AJ Preller is, where the Dodgers are, where Cashman might finally
don't forget
be.
Dombrowski.
Yeah, I just don't know that he's going to ever see it through the prism that these guys are looking at. Therefore, not sure he's going to be willing to make the kind of risk that it takes to make to swing big.
We have a huge Thursday show. We get started guest-wise. The Ravens training camp starts Sunday. Jess Rebeck covers the Ravens for The Athletic, joins at 2:30. We'll chat Major League Baseball, former player, now Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone at 3 o'clock. Jen McCaffrey covers the Red Sox for The Athletic. We'll ask her how much she's buying, what they're selling at 4 o'clock. Our weekly chat with IA Hall of Famer Lucy Burge at 4:30, and Ryan Ripken, part of our Baltimore Baseball Tonight crew, joins us at 5. Orioles exit the All-Star break in Texas to play the Rangers tomorrow night. They are in first place in the AL East, one game up on the Yankees, 4.5 games up on the Red Sox. But the question I have for you, Jason, does winning the division even matter? Last year, the two teams that played in the World Series were wild card teams. None of the teams that won 100 games in baseball got past the first round they played in a year ago.
I'm a little bit torn on this one. This is a really good road team. There's part of me that feels like, as young as they are and as naive as they are, in some ways, it actually would be better for them to be on the road a little bit. Like the pressure, like, you know what I mean? Like Gunner last year and that ridiculousness at second base.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that happens on the road. You know, like, oh, we got to put on a show. You know what I mean? The place is totally packed. The whole town's going nuts. I don't know that as an inexperienced postseason team that necessarily brings out the best in
sure.
you. So there's a part of me that's like, you know what? It was real bad here last year. Like, maybe that push to win the division took something out of them. So going on the road, having a little less pressure, okay. But there's like another part of me that's like, and they're a good road team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is your home ballpark. You know it better than anybody else. And really, for me, what it comes down to is like what we were just talking about. Do they do the right thing and go get some lefty who's going to be like a complete difference maker who fits that ballpark perfectly, who, you know, you just feel incredibly about? If they don't do that, then I'm not sure how much of an advantage Baltimore is. If maybe they're a little more left-handed than the opponent, maybe that plays in their favor. But I'm not that... I'm kind of meh about it, to be honest with you. And I say that as someone who is from an era where it really, really mattered. And the pennant chase was a huge thing. And division titles mattered. I don't know. I don't think they think, again, go back to what we think they think. I don't think they stress about it over there in the warehouse. I think they just want to get in.
I'm sort of like you. I'm kind of torn on it because on one hand, just because of what happened last year in the first year of this new system doesn't mean that's the way it's going to go down every year. I think teams will adjust, and home field and having a rest after a long season should be a positive. But on the flip side,
they're not fixing the schedule this year.
No.
It's going to be janky again this year.
I know, but I mean, not the league will adjust. I mean, teams will adjust and probably prepare differently to be more prepared for it.
What can you do?
But my thing is, we just saw two teams that got in the last week of the season get to the World Series, so we know it's possible. And as you keep adding more teams, it makes it more possible for teams with lesser records to get in. So I want the division, but if they don't get the division, I still think they're a playoff team and still have confidence they can make a run.
And I kind of think going in as something other than the hunted, the way they were the hunted last year, even though they had never done anything in the postseason before, I think mentally that could be a little bit of an advantage. I think I'm of the mindset that I don't really care about it until or unless, GG, they actually do alter the schedule. And this wild card starts the day after the season ends. You know what I mean? You don't get a day to travel and day to like go to the ballpark and work out and all that, right?
Remember, the Rangers went right to Tampa.
Right. But like, you don't get an off day afterwards either.
Yeah.
That series ends and you go right to whoever you're playing and you play them so that the team who got the advantage of home field doesn't have to wait 5 days before they play a game.
Like,
until or unless they make a course correction like that, I've kind of come around on it. And maybe I'll be freaking out about the division if it's close down the stretch, But
would you rather
just
they
get in?
Would you rather they not win the division?
Part of me, I mean, it's hard to say in a vacuum, not knowing what kind of ball they're playing. I mean, if this is a collapse, you know, like if they build up a 12.5, 13 game lead,
yeah,
and then blow it, I would want them to still find a way to win the division instead of completely, you know, tanking. But
the Rangers weren't playing great ball at the end of last season, and they hit the playoffs. They lost on the last day, which lost in the division, and then they're in the wild card now.
Yeah.
It's. And for lack of a better word, it's weird. Like, there was no rhyme or reason as to why the Rangers were so good in the postseason. Except they made moves.
Perhaps, as I think they might say in the warehouse, is it somewhat random? And if it's somewhat random, then how much of any hand should we play or overplay potentially for results for any one particular pennant race? Because once you're in, it's kind of a crapshoot anyway. Now, again, you get Scooble. You got him for 3 years. That's more than one bite at the apple. But you're doing it out of emotion, fighting other teams for this player as people are jockeying for playoff position. My hunch is they would rather sleep in their own beds, and you'd like to have that advantage, and you'd like to have the potential to play more games at home than other teams. Who knows, GG? Maybe last year, if they lost the division by a game and they're going to wherever.
Well, they would have hosted Texas in the first round like Tampa did. So they would have been.
Still would have been, yeah.
They would have hosted.
If they host Tampa the way
Or they hosted Texas. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it would have been any better or any different. I'm trying to find a scenario where they're on the road.
Yeah. Now, they could have gone into a mega slump, but Tampa had a better record than Texas.
Yeah.
Toronto last year.
No, it was the year before where Toronto went to the Mariners. Yeah, I don't know, man.
By the way, we do have a couple polls, do we not?
We do.
That IA 105.7 The Fan is where you can find all our polls. Make sure you give us a follow, as we do. Constantly like to poll.
We do like to poll. The MLB playoffs can be a bit of a crapshoot, as the Orioles saw firsthand last year. With the O's now in another pennant race, how important do you think winning the AL East, or securing the top seed for that matter, really is, Birdland? Should it be a primary objective? 150 votes in. Big deal, 55%. Little deal, 38%. No deal, 7%. I voted little deal.
I voted little deal as well, because on one hand, I want that banner. Like, I want it, but...
It's always great to beat the Yankees.
Yes.
And Boston and whoever else.
Yes.
The other poll, GG, is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
This thing has flipped a few times.
And it's a lot of votes.
Yes. So we're over 2,000 votes in the poll we put up yesterday. With the Orioles reportedly sniffing around on Tarek Skubal, as they damn well should be, Detroit badly needs a shortstop with Baez tanking. Jackson Holliday's blocked at shortstop here, and he's played just 38 games at second base in AAA. So, Birdland, would you be willing to deal Jackson as part of a package for Skubal plus bullpen upgrades? Gotta do it, 49%. Can't do it, 51%. This has 3.5 hours left. The first 6-7 hours of this poll, it was around 60%. Gotta do it. Overnight, it flipped, and it was over 55%. Can't do it, and now it's almost a dead heat.
It's pretty amazing. Like, and I want to make something clear that I made clear yesterday. Like, I'm only trading Jackson Holliday for Tarek Skubal. Like,
sure.
Like, there's nobody that, unless somebody comes on the market that I don't
nobody
know about.
Expects.
Yeah. Like, if you're telling me, like, the ace of the Mariners is all of a sudden available, then he's got years of control. But no, I'm not trading him for Garrett Crochet. I'm just not. There's too many concerns.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that either.
So you still have time to vote. Go to I.
Probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
Depends what else I'm getting. Yeah, am I getting Lewis Robert? Yeah. Am I getting, you know, Garrett Crochet and Lewis Robert? Now we could. Okay. You piqued my interest.
Give me Fatty.
Well, now you really. Yeah. You want to go big. Then there's potential.
Yeah. Coming up next, Ravens and training camp. It starts Sunday. Jeff Rebeck covers the Ravens for The Athletic. We'll talk football with him next here on The Fan. Orioles are back at it tomorrow as they start a series with the Rangers. The Ravens are on the practice field Sunday as training camp begins. And joining us to talk about it, Jeff Rebeck covers the Ravens for The Athletic. And Jeff, thanks as always for joining us. Can you believe it's already here, football season?
No. I mean, this offseason seemed to go quicker than most. And, you know, obviously, I think they're reporting early. It feels like practice is starting a good 5-6 days earlier than last year. I don't remember the exact date. But, yeah, I mean, I just kind of remember watching fireworks. It seemed like only a couple of days ago. And now we'll be out there sweating. Well, some of us will. Ken, we'll see about you.
But, yes, I'll sweat.
We'll be out there sweating, watching some football in a very short period of time.
Harbs is a guy who generally seems to frown upon sort of deadlines or putting, you know, number of days. Or he doesn't usually seem to want to delve into those waters. So when he kind of threw out there that we think we could have the offensive line sorted out in the first 2 weeks of camp, do you think that was just sort of him just, you know, saying it to say it? Or do you think that's realistic?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you said that because I agree. I was surprised because I've asked that question so many times over the years.
Yeah.
And usually the answer is we'll know when you know.
Right.
We're not going to rush it. We're going to let all these guys compete. And that was a pretty strong answer. If he thinks there's a decent shot they know where their offensive line is before the preseason even starts and they start being able to evaluate game reps from these games, then that pretty much tells you that they know who they want to start.
Right.
They know who they want to, you know. So it did surprise me a little bit on that end. I think, you know, If Andrew Voorhees isn't starter at the left guard, it's going to be a surprise. Mm-hmm. He's clearly the guy they want to do it. They think he's one of the most physical guys they have already. He kind of remade his body last year. It's a rookie, essentially. But if you look at it, he was in every meeting last year. Mm-hmm. He was on the practice field throughout the year. So I don't think they looked at it as a strict rookie situation. And then at right tackle, they drafted Roger Rosengarten to be the starting right tackle. I mean, that seems pretty clear. And he's going to really have to show a lack of progress not to win that job. So I think those two spots they have a pretty good sense of. It's a third spot at right guard. I wouldn't even know who to label the favorite.
Right.
You know, if you asked me a couple months ago, I would have said probably Ben Cleveland. We're not at liberty to discuss reps where in the various camps, but I feel comfortable saying there was no indication based on what we were watching that he's the leader in the clubhouse. So, and then you go Falele or, you know, and I think the situation is they want one of those guys to win the job. And if they don't, they know, you know, Josh Jones could probably be serviceable there. And if they have to play the veteran there for a handful of games while the younger guys continue to develop, they could get away with that. So, I think I've been writing three spots available. Mm-hmm. In reality, I think it's
one.
Probably, in their mind, it's more like one.
Yeah.
We're talking to Jeff Rebeck. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. The big free agent move they made was Derrick Henry. We all know the story. They tried to get him at the deadline a year ago. They didn't. So they've had a Henry fetish for a while. Bones out, but I'll speak for him. Him and I are more optimistic about his impact on this team. Jason's concerned about the wear and tear, 30-year-old running back. Where are you on the impact Henry's going to have?
Yeah, I think he's, you know, I think I'm probably somewhere in between you, both you guys. I think he's going to be a productive running back, and I think they're going to be pretty pleased what they get from him in terms of what they're going to ask him to do. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to ask him to shoulder the burden that he shouldered in Tennessee. I don't think that's in the cards, and they shouldn't, let's face it.
Yeah.
At this stage of his career and what they've done elsewhere and where Lamar Jackson's at, I don't think they need Derrick Henry to be dominating Tennessee Derrick Henry. I think he could be plenty productive, getting fewer carries and just what he's going to mean from being out on the field. But that's not to say I don't think there are questions. You know, it'll be interesting to see. I think it's one of the more interesting stories. Like, What do they do? What kind of play designs do they have him involved in? Are they going to say, you know, look, you're going to need to run out of the shotgun? He's going to have to do some of that. Some of the things he didn't do in Tennessee, he's going to have to do some of that. But I'm all in on Derrick Henry, the professional. I'm all in on him as the person. I think it's going to be a great fit from that standpoint. I think he's going to bring toughness, physicality, professionalism, all that. So I think he's going to have a pretty nice impact that may not be fully sort of measured in the kind of stats he puts up by the end of the year.
Well, to that end, Jeff, could it be that just his presence and his – because they're keeping him on a pitch count, and there's the threat that, you know, he is still vibrant, that they might not even run the ball, right, as much, as well yards per carry-wise as they did a year ago. But his presence and the way teams have to defend them and getting maybe that defender sneaking into the box a little more helps them become such a better team throwing out a 12 and 13 personnel that the gains they make in passing efficiency outweigh maybe even if they do lose a little bit even at yards per carry. Because, again, they've been running the ball at a pretty ridiculous clip for a long time. Like, that ain't exactly been a problem.
Yeah, no, I agree with you totally. I do think in a sense, if they have Lamar Jackson under center, they're going to be able to run the ball. I mean, we've seen that with, you know, those Latavius Murray and Devonta Freeman. We've seen Gus Edwards do what he did. We've seen Justice Hill get chunks. So they're going to be able to run the ball. But, yeah, I think it's what else it does. The defense is going to have to honor his presence back there. And if they're going to go a light box, I think the Ravens will be, or if people are going to go small on them, which we've seen in the past, I think the Ravens will be plenty content. Just say, okay, here's a heavy dose of Derrick Henry. So, I think it's going to, in that sense, even if he's not the same productive guy, I think he's plenty of productive enough to take advantage of some of the looks that they may get. And he's going to be enough to force defenses to honor what he can do. And, you know, let's face it. I mean, J.K. Dobbins has had his moments, you know, when he was healthy. It just wasn't often enough. Otherwise, they just haven't had a guy in a while that I think scares defenses from a running perspective beyond the quarterback.
Jeff, we'll finish with this. How concerned are you about unlocking Likely and Andrews together? Because that's one thing we haven't seen. And I feel like that's job one for Monken this year. Even Roman, when Andrews was out a year before, Likely looked good without Andrews. But when they're together, we don't see him.
I don't know. I think from a must standpoint and from a okay, this needs to be a focus this offseason standpoint, I think that's got to be high on the list for Todd Monken. Concern, I wouldn't say I'm there yet, only because I think in the last half season last year, I think Isaiah Likely found another level. And I don't think we've seen a confident Isaiah Likely with a healthy Mark Andrews yet. We just haven't seen it. And I think that's going to be the case this year. So I think that Lamar Jackson has a whole lot more faith than Isaiah Likely after what happened last year when Andrews was down. I think the coaching staff have more faith in him. So I think he's emerged now. I don't think I don't think there's any question what they have in him. So yeah, I 100% expect that to be a focus this offseason. And then, you know, Jason brought up 12 personnel. Yeah. I don't know how much we'll see that'll give stuff away this offseason.
Right.
You know, like, how much are they going to show us? You know how that is. They're not going to want to give teams a head start for scouting for them. But when it comes down to week one, I think that's going to be one of the key questions. How much are Lakers on the field at the same time? And I think they can be plenty. It is something they're going to need to figure out.
Most importantly, is the tan ready for training camp? Because unlike me, you like the sun. Are you ready for the daily stand outside? Is the base ready?
Yeah. Oh, it's tremendous right now, Ken. I'm feeling really good about that. I'm going to make sure I'm well stocked in the SPF 15 suntan lotion to kind of accentuate that. As I always say, if you're going to work, you might as well get a tan while you're doing it.
There you go.
Yeah, well, my skin doesn't allow it, but that's just me. Jeff Zeribek covers the Ravens for The Athletic. Jeff, always great, man. Thank you.
Take care, guys. Look forward to seeing you in the coming days.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. We'll see you soon. Jeff Zeribek always does a great job covering the Ravens. Coming up next, I put together some potential trades with teams. Jason, you will hypothetically be, I guess you'll be Michael Elias in these in situations.
I might call in Beltway Ben to be my Sigma Del.
Okay, and you'll decide whether or not you, I have multiple hypothetical trades here.
Okay.
And you, we'll see if you would make these deals.
Let's go. That's
next here on The Fan. So we have a little experiment here, and Jason, I will play the role of the other team. And you will
My
play
phone
the
lines are always open,
yes,
Gigi.
And I'm
willing to
in.
Listen to any proposal about any player
yes.
at any time.
Now, here's the deal. I
yes.
want you to think like you, if you were the GM, not try
not
to get
them.
Into Michael.
I'm not trying to say what I think.
Yes.
So it's not whether I think they would do it.
Yes.
It's would I do it.
Yes. You're not trying to think like they think. You're trying to think like, would you make this move?
So it's like not a mock draft where you're trying to predict what they're going to
Correct.
Do. Correct. It's a mock draft when you're saying what they should do.
Correct.
And Pete Prisco, in case you didn't know, invented the mock
draft. He invented this whole process.
And he invented this bit.
So Beltway Ben in this exercise will be your assistant GM.
Yes.
And we'll see how he feels. So we'll start with one that we spoke about a lot yesterday. I'm the, in this exercise, I'm the Detroit Tigers.
Mm-hmm. I love Motown.
Yes. And I'm offering, and I said, you want Tarik Skubal? We want Jackson Holliday, Connor Norby, Colton Cowser. We want a couple lottery picks. We'll throw in that Jason Foley fellow as well. Is that a deal that you would want to do?
Yeah. Throw in a little Fanta and a Lafayette Coney Island and let's rock.
Sig?
You can keep the Little Caesars.
Sig, are you pushing back?
I'm all in. I'm all in on Foley. Foley gets the deal done.
Okay.
I love that.
So that's one we talked about. Now we head to the Chicago. And the
with the Cubs or the White Sox?
White Sox.
I'm willing to do business with both.
The White Sox. And
I like their center fielder, assistant GM.
I know. Maybe you want to add something here, but he says, I know you like Garrett Crochet. We want Colton Cowser. We want Connor Norby. And we want Ryan Mountcastle. We also want you to throw in a lottery ticket. We'll throw Kopech in the deal and Crochet.
Kopech and Crochet. Kopech, who's not done very well lately,
no,
and I'm not sure he's a closer. It's an interesting
arm.
Power arm, no
yes.
doubt about it. So you're saying Mounty,
Cowser,
Norby, and Cowser.
Plus some sprinkles.
Wait, okay.
Yeah.
For Crochet.
And Kopech.
I mean, what are you doing with Tommy Pham?
I'm
giving up an outfielder, and I got some other outfielders I don't really trust.
What's Sig think?
I'm fine on moving Cowser. I'm very fine with that, but I think that's a lot for a guy that you're not going to get more than. But you're also looking down the line. We're going to have to do something outside of this, Mike. This can't be the only deal.
This is Sig talking to you.
But this guy might be our opening day starter
next
year.
Absolutely. Yes. That's what I'm saying. We're going to have to do
come up
else.
With an off-season program to build
yes.
him up
yeah.
and keep him as a starter.
You got a swing and miss arm at the back end. He struggled, but he's been in a bad situation.
Dominant from the left side.
It opens a DH spot, too, now that O'Hearn's
well, Mounty, we're going to take Kobe Mayo and put him
okay.
at first base.
Okay.
Does that work for
okay.
you,
that
Sig?
Works for me.
I'll do it.
Are we trying to win a Triple-A championship or what?
We've done that.
Yeah.
They won. And they were, boys were celebrating in Las Vegas last year. Nobody remembers. I'm the only schmuck who watched.
Yeah. We need another
Let's go
one.
Get the real thing,
Was that
Sig?
In Vegas? I watched
yes,
a little
Yes, it was
that.
In Vegas.
Okay. I got another one for you. The Angels are on the phone.
Okay.
He said, we want to give you Carlos Estevez. We want Kyle Stowers and Chase McDermott. He's a rental arm.
That's a steep price for a rental? That's a steep price for a rental.
I'm out on Estevez. I don't.
Sig does not like Estevez.
Yeah, there's a lot of bullpen arms potential. As much as people want to talk about how hard it is to make trades in this or that, there's going to be a lot of teams that are looking to dump relievers and move a little salary and guys who aren't going to pitch in the clutch for them. It just feels a little steep to me. I mean, it's the Stowers part of it. We've got a building block there, but
yeah.
I don't want to throw Chase. If I'm throwing in Chase McDermott, I'm getting a little bit more.
Got some more. Oakland A's are on the phone.
Oh.
Yeah. said, you know what?
You mean Sacramento?
Yeah, but yeah, the ATF.
Sacktown? As Romy would call them? Yeah. The Sacktown A's?
And the calendar, they're called the ATF now, whatever.
Is that what that was? I was sitting there in the shower. I looked at the schedule before I got in the shower.
Yeah.
And by the time I got out of the shower, I still didn't know what HTH was.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that All-Star? Like, I'm like, wait, no, it's not All-Star. What is HTH?
ATH is the A's.
It's the A's.
Yeah, I don't understand it. But they're like, you know what? We'll listen for Mason Miller. But we want Sam Basayo, Connor Norby, Dylan Beavers, Seth Johnson, and a lottery ticket for Mason Miller.
Sig, it doesn't do it for me, man. He's still, at the end of the day, a reliever. We're getting Batista back.
Lots of team control.
He's controllable forever. Big Sam's my quarterback. If I'm giving up my quarterback, I don't know, Sig. I need a guy who pitches more than three times a week.
Sig, how you feeling on this?
I agree. I would do it for a starter. If Scooble's, we can go back to Detroit with that for Scooble, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. As much as Miller's a freak show, I also wonder about the arm a little bit. Throwing 104 is really unnatural.
He got the shot last year. So yeah. Tommy John, I know it's coming for every pitcher, but Tommy John's coming for him.
A's also are gauging your interest in Lucas Ursig. He's a swing and miss arm. They said give us Kyle Stowers and a couple lottery tickets. We'll give you Lucas Ursig.
We can do that.
Deal.
We can do that.
You like that one?
I like that one. I mean, within reason on the lottery tickets, but yeah.
Connor Norby, the Blue Jays are on the phone.
Okay.
Connor Norby and some lottery tickets for Yusei Kikuchi.
Oh, I want to do, I mean, that's the Flaherty deal. You know what? Who is it up there now?
Is it Anthropology?
Isn't he Alex Anthropology? He's in Atlanta now.
Yeah, who is Toronto's GM?
Hey, you hoser. Hold on to your loonies and toonies, okay? If you got somebody else who's coming to you, let me know the offer. But I'm trying to do better than Kikuchi.
Ross Atkins.
I don't want to go. And look, we can talk
Shapiro's
Norby.
Shapiro's the president,
right? Yeah, sure, he's the president. If you want to talk Norby, we can talk Norby. But I don't want to make that trade just yet because I got other irons in the fire for starting pitchers.
I got even more. We're going to do this a little bit later. You like this?
This is good.
Yeah, we got more offers. I play the GM of other teams. You're Mike Elias. Sig on the other side over there helping you out. And coming up next, we'll continue to talk baseball. Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone joins us next here on The Fan.